Session number 13580, reel number 4.
This is now reel 4.
The quality of their homes were much better than ours. And the roads, the furniture, and even the people themselves, they looked better fed than... They didn't look as though they were suffering at all. And the clothes, they had lovely clothes. It made me wonder what it was like before the end of the war, or before the war came, because they looked very prosperous compared to what we were.
What was the attitude of the Germans towards you, the soldiers?
Well, the attitude of the civilians, what contact we made with them, they were pleased the war was over. They didn't seem to hold any resentment towards us. We were told not to mix with them because of the werewolf. Don't go with any German women. They'll probably entice you and put a knife in your back to frighten us to death. But it wasn't like that. They were very kind. Of course, you weren't allowed to fraternise, but you did become friendly with them, and you could see a young lady walking about, or maybe two young ladies walking along the road, and a couple of swaddies behind them, 100 yards behind them, but eventually they met up. We had an RSM. He was out of the guards. Our RSM got killed soon after D-Day, but we had an RSM. He was a drill sergeant out of the guards. He came. They called him the buzz bomb. I won't tell you his name. Of course, when these young National Service chaps used to come, he was very heavily black shaven, big farmer, and he used to stick his face close up to them, and he said, "Do you know what they call me, boy?" "No, sir." "They call me the buzz bomb. Do you know why they call me the buzz bomb?" "No, sir. No, sir." "Because I land in the most unexpected places. Watch yourself, boy. You'll lose your name." And he used to have a pair of binoculars. He'd sit up in his room and he'd be watching to see if you were fraternising with any young lady, anything. But
he didn't stop him?
No. They still had the girlfriends and whatever.
Did any of them marry Germans?
Not our lot, no. We I think we were there, let me see. We weren't there very long, maybe a couple of months.
How did the DPs behave towards the Germans?
Oh, they didn't like them. Of course, they didn't come into contact with them, you see. I mean, there was no menfolk, and the only people that were knocking about was a few young ladies, eldest chaps. It was only a small mining village where this camp was. We never noticed any bitterness towards the German civilians or these DPs or displaced people. Of course, I mean, some of them worked down the mines and different things. We didn't even seem to be bothered about it, you know. I mean, we did our job. We looked after them. We went on guard and looked after the camp. They sent them away, and the only German civilians we come into contact were one or two. There was an interpreter, and they were allowed they employed one or two around the cookhouse and the mess and that. Of course, this was a few weeks after we'd, and things is settling down quite a bit.
And did any of the DPs misbehave?
No. No, they did. It was quiet. As I say, if I remember rightly, there was a curfew. They weren't allowed on the street after a certain time at night.
Did any of the soldiers misbehave?
In which way?
Well, in any way.
Oh, I mean, no, I don't think so. There was one or two of them got friendly and they used to go to the houses and take bits of stuff. But, I mean, there's always ways and means of overcoming these things, isn't there?
You mean take presents to the house?
Yeah, the chaps, some of them were married and not being with their wives for months and months and months, and nature will take its course if they put a female and a man together, and the young soldiers, and a bit of chocolate flying around, and cigarettes, which was ample. I mean, we got plenty. I used to get you 50 tin of cigarettes every week, and yeah, chocolate ration, and you used to change these for, and of course you got your beer ration. And then they opened a place up like a canteen, and they had one or two German girls serving on and things like this. As I say, it just took its course. You still weren't allowed to frat or get married. If you got caught with me, you would get into trouble, I suppose. But again, things started to relax. And we used to sneak into the swimming pool during any time. When you were in a pair of swimming trunks, they didn't know whether you were British or not. As long as you keep your mouth shut. Everybody sort of slackened down. And then all of a sudden, one day, we were sent. The old man come and told us to prepare to move out.
Britain?
No. We were going to come home on leave and then go to Maryland. From Maryland, we were going to Australia. And from Australia, we were going to invade Japan. We pulled out of Germany and went around the area of Ghent. Our company was sent to a small town called Deans. Where we were there for about 3 months, 9 weeks roughly. We were reinforced. No, that's wrong. We went and we were waiting to be sent to Brussels to catch a plane home. We were on the advance party. And they dropped the atom bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and the Japanese surrendered. So there was a change of plans, and we went to Ghent, and we reinforced. Different units got broke up, and we were reinforced, and we were there for about 9 weeks. Just moving about with, and now we went to Blankenberg for a few days. Everybody took the turn. We didn't do very much, we just did the ordinary things, looked after your equipment. We were in civilian digs. We used to go to the cafes at night time and have a drink and a bit of a dance. And then we got, as I say, reinforced, and we got sent for, and we had a all group, and we were told that we were going to go to Palestine. We finished up being equipped and sorted out. We had our farewell parties and got on a train down to Toulon. We were in Toulon a few days, and we got on a boat. I can't remember the name of the ship. It was a French ship, troop ship. Arrived in Port Said. From Port Said, we went to Fayed. In the middle of the desert, and this camp. And the funny part of it was, the people who were guarding the camp were German prisoners of war from the Africa Corps. We were there, and eventually got our knees brown. We used to go down to the Bitter Lake and swim in the Bitter Lake. Of course, the glorious sunshine, it was lovely. And of course, it was that hot, we used to finish around about 1 o'clock after lunch. And later on, we were allowed to go down and go into the Great Bitter Lake and swim. There was a couple of clubs down there. And then we used to go from there into Palestine, Haifa, Netanya, Jerusalem, up into the Golden Heights, around Nazareth, and we used to patrol, keeping the Arabs and the Jews apart. And then we used to wait for the illegal immigrants coming in from Europe, and we used to help sort them out. A lot of them were sent to Cyprus. A lot of swimming.
Can you describe what work you did with the illegal immigrants?
Well, we sorted them out, and there was some of them in a bad way. They didn't take to us kindly.
Did you have to board the ships?
No, we didn't. Our unit, we just cordoned the beaches off, so that if any escaped, which we never came across any, but there was a different unit went on and boarded the ships. They used to throw things at them, and
who used to throw them?
The illegal immigrants, and then they were sent to Cyprus. And we used to move around a lot, and sometimes we used to do searches. With cordon, because out there they seemed to colonise in little groups. They weren't a village like this, you know. There was Russian Jews, Austrian Jews, all right, proper mixed up. And if they got in, they'd colonise and they'd go with different people. And sometimes we had to search and look for these people. And they didn't take to that kindly. What we used to do, we used to go and cordon so many houses off and search for these people, which wasn't a pleasant job. And
what were you looking for?
For anybody who didn't have papers. And then they'd ship us back into Egypt, and we'd be down there for a few weeks, then back into Palestine.
Did you ever find any illegal immigrants?
No, I didn't, no.
Why was it so unpleasant on the cordon?
Well, you went into people's home and you had to search into the rooms, and I didn't think it was very nice myself.
Were the people hostile?
Well, no, we just bungled them off out of the way. You didn't treat them gently, you just ordered them out, and you went into the homes and searched. You had to ask them for papers. And go through the papers and things like that. And I didn't think it was very nice.
Was there damage done to the homes?
Not that I know of. No, no. I didn't hear of anybody doing any damage. Sometimes we used to have a little bit of fun, and of course we'd maybe dig a slit trench and consolidate around that area. And they'd come out, and of course they were all staring. We used to shout, "Oh, surprise, surprise!" And this sort of thing, you know. But I don't think anybody did any damage. Not really, no.
So this was in Jewish settlements, was it?
Yes, and then we went to Jerusalem, to Allenby barracks just outside Jerusalem. We used to have to do guards. We went on guard to King David Hotel, which would, it had been blown up previous to us getting there. GOC was in there. We went on guard once down to the station, and they blew the income tax up. Of course, this time the Stern gang was going, and was it Hanna gang? Is it Stern?
Irgun's by Lumi. Irgun, the Irgun.
Irgun. There was a breakout in the jail in Jerusalem. That time there was a breakout. We were involved in that.
What did you have to do?
Well, we were on guard. Our battalion were on guard in that area. We were at the station. They blew the income tax up, office up. One day we were going to Mount Garden. We saw this building go up in the air. They come and blew about 100 yards of railway up. We had to go on patrol and try and find them. And that was, we had the Christmas there, 46, 47. I went to have a look at part two orders one day, and I found my name posted to a mountain warfare school in Austria. So I left the battalion and went to the mountain warfare school, stationed at Malnitz.
How much danger did you feel in Palestine?
Well, danger, by this time you're a seasoned professional soldier, you didn't take any notice of danger. He didn't feel any danger. He always treated everything as lightly as he could. He was like a second nature.
Were there any casualties to the KOSP in the Palestine?
No, no. There was a story went that there was two sergeants of another regiment picked up in Palestine and they were horsewhipped. And there was another story went that someone broke into a camp in Netanya and hung two soldiers in the eucalyptus trees. How true that is, I don't know. We weren't involved in anything like that. And as I say, I got transferred to this War Office Mountain Warfare School in Malnitz, and I was there from the January. That was the bad winter of 46-47 here, and I was there until I think it was the May. And by this time, after an enjoyable period in Austria, skiing and different activities, I became due for Python tour. That was 3 years overseas. But I couldn't come from Germany, from Austria back to England. I had to go back to my unit that was in Netanya. I was 2 weeks in Venice waiting for a boat because Medlock route, and that was the Toulon route, they used to come from Port Said to Toulon and from Toulon to Calais, that had closed. That was known as the Medlock route. I had to go to Venice and wait in Venice. I was in Venice 2 weeks waiting for a boat to go back to Port Said. Managed to get back to my unit. I was there 2 weeks and we came back home on pipe.